As you sing that one, it seems to be the whole world rolled into one. You said earlier, before you began to sing it, each one of the lines, each one of the images could be a song in itself.
Yeah, it's with song. Every song.
You know, I asked you to sing that live rather than the disc. I had this letter from a kid who's about your age. He's about 21, 22. This came about because he was asking, you know, on this program, wondering about what this new generation is really thinking of. We hear so much. And it's an interesting, at the very end, he says, you know, America's heard the story of the bright, straight-A student, the fraternity leading good guy Charlie, the young victim of discrimination, but there's a quiet group that remains, one that has no overwhelming crusade that is outwardly to make, but one that is uneasily discontent, thoughtfully restless. Young people of this sort may eventually be determiners of future directions. But then there's something he said earlier, I can't find the sentence. That's why I ask you, he says, outwardly we seem to be cool, outwardly, but there's a rage inside us, you see. Now, you were singing that outwardly very easily and casually. That's why I wanted to see you sing it. But, oh boy, the fire of the words that you sang.
I got a friend who wrote a book called $100 Misunderstanding. Uh-huh. And I don't know if it's around Chicago. But it's about this straight-A college kid, you know, fraternity guy, mm-hmm. and a Negro, a 14-year-old Negro prostitute. And it's got two dialogues and in the same book. One dialogue in one chapter, and the other chapter follows with this is exactly what he's thinking and what he does.
Yeah.
You know, in the next chapter is her view of him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the whole book goes
like
that.
Yeah, I heard of this book. Gotta think it's in
the... This guy, Bob Gover, wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would explain a lot too. That's one of the the hip, more and more hip things nowadays, I guess. Besides, I mean, it actually comes out and states something that's actually true, you know. That's it's what it thinks about. Where I don't know if this fellow that wrote in the letter was thinking about crusades, and this guy who wrote it, you can't label him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he's unlabelable. He's that's the word.
You know, back in the 30s, in the 1930s, you know, there were young people feeling passionately, you know, under one label or another, do you see? But they were more or less pigeonholed. But what you stand for, it seems, the fellow wrote this letter and the guy wrote that book, they belong to nobody but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we know something is there. You know, outwardly we say, cool, mm-hmm. cool. I suppose you have to be that because the chips on the table are so blue.
Well, maybe it's just the time.
Yeah.
Now's the time. Maybe you have to belong to yourself, you know. And I think maybe in 1930, from talking with Woody and Pete and some other people that I know there, it seems like everything then was good and bad and black and white and easy to see. And wherever you only had one or two, and you stand on one side, you know people are either for you or against you, or with you or behind you, or whatever you have, you know. Nowadays, it's just, I don't know how it got that way, but it doesn't seem so simple or more than two sides, you know. It's not black and white anymore.
Something you said earlier, something you wrote, you belong to yourself, that's true. At the same time, you can't help but be connected
mm-hmm.
with everybody else, which I suppose is why you write these songs. But take this one you sang, this one that I think will be a classic, This Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Even though it may have come out of your feelings about atomic rain, at the same time...
No, it wasn't atomic rain, no.
Well, go ahead.
Somebody else thought that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not atomic rain.
Go ahead.
It's just a hard rain. It's
hard
not atomic rain, no. It's not the fallout rain.
No.
It isn't that at all. Well, somebody else, I think, said that someplace.
Well, go ahead. When you say a hard rain, what do you mean? Although you're
I just mean that some sort of end that's just got to happen, you know, which... It's very easy to see, but everybody doesn't really, it doesn't seem like, it seems like you're overlooking it. Well, it's bound to happen, you know, it's bound to happen. It seems like it's, well, I'm not talking about that hard rain, meaning the atomic rain. It seems to me like the bomb is a god in some sort of a way. It's more of a god, people worship it, actually. You have to be nice to it, you know, you have to be careful what you say about it. You know, people work on it. They go 6 days a week and work on it. You have other people designing it. You know, it's a It's a whole new
form. They're all pretty good people too in everyday
life.
Yeah.
I don't believe they're bad people. No, I don't. Well, just like the guy that killed this fellow hitchhiking through Alabama. You know, the guy that killed him. You can ask
who
me.
Who might be the Starkey person?
Yeah. I forget
his
name.
We don't know if he did, but it's the
yeah,
father.
Yeah, I'm not even saying I know who it is. Yeah,
it might be.
Yeah. Even if it's not him, if it's somebody else, yeah. You know, the fellow that actually shot the bullet. Mm-hmm. And you can't really say that, you know, you can't ask for nothing more awful. I mean, shot right in the back. And even that guy, you know, when you see something like that, I've seen so many people before I got to New York, you know, that are good people, that maybe are poor, you know, maybe a little poor. And there are other people telling them, you know, that why they're poor, you know, and who made it so that they are poor. And to take their minds off that they are poor, they have to pick a you know,
but you
a
do believe, Bob, in good and evil.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there is a basic good.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously,
you do from the songs you write.
Yeah, I think the evil doesn't really come. The evil is the cause, you know.
But you know what I mean? One of the lines that got me earlier, you said things are not quite as simple as they were. The executioner's face is always well hidden. That's one of the lines of your song.
Well,
that song you sang.
All over the place is hidden. It's not. It doesn't. Yeah.
Again, this comes out, you know, it's so impersonal, huh?
Yeah.
It's more impersonal today. But you keep on writing these songs. You don't believe, well, I'm asking you what you don't believe or do believe. You said it's going to happen. What's going to happen?
Well, I hate to think that anything is going to happen, but at least I recognize that it could happen. And what's going to happen, there's got to be an explosion of some kind. The hard rain is going to fall is in the last verse. When I say where the pellets of poison are flooding the waters, that means all the lies, you know, all the lies that people get told in their radios and their newspapers, which all you have to do is just think for a minute, you know, and try to take people's brains away, you know, which maybe has been done already. I don't know, I hate to think it's been done, but all the lies, which is I consider poison, you know.
Well, certainly my generation, let's say, the one I'm 50, be 51 soon, my generation, I think, has had it. I mean, I'm talking about you now and your friends, all your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Through many of this, of the early 20s, 19, 20, 21, how many feel as you do?
Oh, there's an awful lot of them. Well, I know that I don't know. You ask my friends, you know, my friends.
I don't mean just your circle.
Yeah.
I mean, in your, because you've traveled a good deal.
Oh, well, I can tell you something about friends. I got to tell you about people I grew up with,
mm-hmm.
That I know, you know, mm-hmm. since I've been, you know, 4 and 5, and the same kind of people I knew when I was 10 and 12. It was a little small town people. You know, and I grew up
this
with these people.
This was in Hibbing, Minnesota.
Yeah, I lived in
Iron Ore country.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and some other places I lived.
Mm-hmm.
But before I finally split, you know,
mm-hmm.
for good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these people were my friends. I went to school with them. I lived with them. I played with them, you know. I ate with them, you know. You know, we did good things, bad things. We went through all kinds of things together. And, I as I stand here right now, the last time I saw them, any of them, was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, there's either me or them has changed, you know.
What's happened to them?
Well, they still seem to be the same old way, you know. Like, when they see me, they heard I was in New York, you know. And they have words like, I can just tell by conversation, little conversation, that they still have a feeling that isn't really free, you know. It's not a free feeling that they have. They still have a feeling tied up, where it's tied up in the town, in their parents, in the newspapers that they read, which go out to maybe 5,000 people, which they don't have to go out of town. The world's very small. You don't have to, really. If you leave one town, you're in another town, it's the same thing.
Same thing. So there's a kind of a sameness, too, that you see. That may not have been the case.
I don't put them down. I'm not putting them down. I just don't, you know, I'm not really saying. I just say that my road and theirs is just is different. It's not the same. It's like a lot of them are married. Maybe some are going to school. You know, Some are working, you know, just working. And they're just a different... They're still there, though. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but what are they thinking? They want to be...
They're not thinking. They're not thinking about the same things I'm thinking about.
They're not thinking what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's I guess what
you spoke of those pellets on the water, haven't you? Earlier you spoke of those poison pellets on the water. Uh-huh. Whether maybe it hit them, too, maybe. Or hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it has. It hit me.
Hit you?
It hit me.
Yeah.
It hit me. I just got out of it. You know, if I just get out of it, that's all.
Well, as you're talking, I think your songs, as well as your words right now, tell the story of your feelings, Bob. Some more of these. Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
Well, that one, that's
Which one?
That's the song I wrote. Oh. I wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost a nail, though. I don't think I can play the scrape it.
Oh, that's a difficult one to play.
Not a difficult one to play. I just lost his nail here. It's going to bust off any minute. You know, yeah. I might need it.
Yeah.
That's why I play that.
Well, which is one that, as we're talking right now, you know, about your friends or about yourself.
Oh, you want to hear one like
that? Yeah, is there a song that... In fact, this could be sort of our pattern, I think, you know. You can make the song italicize what you're saying, you see. Because pretty much your song and your spoken word go hand in hand. Or hand on string. We should point out that this is Friday morning, and Bob is at a new place called The Bear. The Bear is where Leglone once was, isn't that right? I think it was. He'll be playing that just Friday night. Yeah, it was last night, and then Friday night? No, it wasn't. Just one night. It was last night. However, Hugh, we hope soon there'll be a concert of Bob's in Chicago.